The government's running up against a time limit for the debt limit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Later this afternoon, Vice President Joe Biden meets with a bipartisan group of congressional leaders. They're all going to try and carve out a compromise to raise the government's debt limit. Now, the government already bumped against the ceiling last week, although the Treasury Department is manipulating available cash to keep paying the bills through August. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from Washington with more. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So here we are. The clock is ticking. Where are we in negotiations?
Well, the Biden group has found some savings already. For example, they've agreed to cut the government's contribution to federal employee pension accounts, but they still have a long way to go. Today, for example, they'll take up the tough decisions needed to reduce the government health care plans, Medicare and Medicaid. And remember, there's also an effort going on in the Senate, the so-called Gang of Five, downsized from the Gang of Six. They're trying to reach a broader agreement, not only raising the debt ceiling and finding some spending cuts, but perhaps reaching a budget deal for next year.
What are the prospects of that, John?
Well, this bipartisan group is keeping quiet about whether they're making any progress, but their job is about to get more difficult. This summer, the government will have to approve additional spending to pay for all the rebuilding from the tornadoes and floods in the Midwest. And Maya McGinnis, with the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, says disasters like these happen almost every year, and the budget should anticipate them.
So instead of acting surprised and, oh, we have to raise additional funds outside of the normal budget process, we should actually be budgeting for emergencies in the normal cycle.
Now, McGinnis says that this extra spending is just going to be one more hurdle, one more roadblock in the way of reaching a deficit-cutting budget deal before the summer is out.
And if there's no agreement to raise the debt ceiling by early August, remind us, John, what those consequences would be.
Well, the government won't be able to borrow money to pay its bills. Most significantly, it couldn't pay interest on the debt that it already has. And that means that investors in U.S. debt, meaning the folks who buy treasury bonds, would get skittish. And the government would have to pay higher interest rates to borrow more money in the future.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington for us. John, thank you.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are slightly higher right now. The S&P up about 0.25%. The NASDAQ is flat. The Dow up by 19 points, about 0.2% at 12,399. European shares are up more than 0.5% at the moment. Asian markets rose slightly as well today. Sales of new single-family homes were up in April. It was the second month of sales gains, and prices increased as well, according to the Commerce Department. But realtors certainly aren't popping the champagne. We're still on track for the worst year of new home sales in half a century. China today appealed a World Trade Organization ruling saying the U.S. blatantly ignored international trade rules when it imposed trade barriers on car tires imported from China. An ash cloud from a volcano in Iceland could force airlines to cancel up to 500 flights in Ireland, Scotland, and parts of Scandinavia. And while the British Weather Office says it's not as bad as a similar volcanic incident in Europe last year, travelers and investors are still concerned. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
British Airways, Air France and EasyJet cancelled most of their flights in and out of Scotland this morning. Fearing the financial fallout, investors sold stocks in these companies. The shares are down about 5%. Analysts do not expect the airlines to suffer a major hit, however. Air traffic controllers are responding more flexibly to the cloud than last year. They're not blanket banning flights. But Brian Tora of JM Finn Investment Managers says the airlines are understandably nervous after last year's disaster.
100,000 flights were cancelled. It cost the industry an estimated $1.7 billion. So this is no small deal if we've got another volcanic ash cloud.
The airlines are hoping that this year's ash cloud will dissipate quickly, but weather conditions remain volatile. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Today, the V in VW stands for Volunteer State. Volkswagen opened a new factory today in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The German automaker says its goal is to beat out Toyota and GM to become the world's number one car maker soon. To do that, Volkswagen aims to triple its sales here in the U.S. Reporter Sally Herships now on how the new plant fits right into that plan.
One of every 9 new cars sold globally last year was made by Volkswagen. But in the U.S., this major brand is a niche player, on par with Subaru. Part of the problem is it hasn't made cars in the country since the late 80s.
If you're going to be competitive, you generally have to build your cars where you sell your cars.
David Cole is chairman emeritus for the Center of Automotive Research. He says building a plant locally can help protect manufacturers from fluctuating exchange rates. And by choosing the South, Volkswagen joins other car makers looking for lower-cost auto workers. The plant is expected to crank out 150,000 cars a year, starting with the Passat. But the car's design has been tailored for American consumers.
It took German car makers a long time to understand that U.S. buyers wanted cup holders.
Bill Visnick is senior editor at AutoObserver.com. He says there are big differences between what European and American consumers want in a car.
First and foremost is interior size. Americans like cars that they feel like they can stretch out in a little bit inside.
Volkswagen says its American Passat is a few inches longer and wider than the German version and several thousand dollars cheaper. It will also have more cup holders, 8 for a car that seats 5 people. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, a study out of Europe says men who are more cultured are happier and healthier people. Researchers at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology say cultured men are generally in better health, have lower levels of depression, and are more satisfied, even more so than cultured women. What does the study define as cultured? Well, those who go to museums and galleries. How about how often are we talking about? Well, let's just say often enough instead of spending time on the couch eating donuts and watching reruns of Roseanne. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Investing comes with risks and rewards. So imagine a way to cut out the risk and still make a buck or two.
Some people, it might be liberating and empowering to just trade and not worry about the money that they're losing.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, social networking and investing. Match made in heaven or complete fantasy. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.